I think all of us have had to deal with pressure and expectations throughout our lives. And I know for me, that's something that I've had to do. You know, I've always laid a lot of pressure on myself, a lot of expectations on myself. And let me tell you, like, nobody really wants to review those years that shall not be named. You know what I'm talking about there? But let me tell you, like, the long hours that ended up having to be worked as we were trying to keep connected with people and figure out new ways of doing ministry and debug our online ministry that suddenly we had to engage with, and recording entire services and editing them, and just all the different things that were going on, and frustrations as, can I be frank here today? As we saw adult believers acting like they were third graders, right? And whatever side of the whole thing you were on, let me just tell you, there were a lot of people showing a lot of the pressure and frustration and anti-establishment kind of attitudes that were coming forth in an immature kind of way. And I had moments like that too, but it was a lot. And what this ended up coming out as is, you know, you can only work 60, 65, 70 hours a week for so long and deal with so many frustrations before your body says, are you done? You know what I mean? And so I ended up starting to have signs of burnout. And I also started to get anxious. And I've always had moments in my life, periods in time, and Embry can tell you that where I've kind of gone into a melancholy slump for a week and then come out. But, you know, all of a sudden I'd have melancholy slumps for longer than a week. And then we'd be driving, and all of a sudden my stomach would be all, like, tied up in knots for absolutely no reason. You know, the thought of calling someone and setting up an appointment would send me to the kitchen floor, kind of thing. And I know for me, the temptation was like, well, God, I guess it's time for me just to say, hey, I guess I need to spend more time with God, right? I need to spend longer in my devotional life. I need to pray more, right? And in fact, I would say that that's probably generally in the church's history been the reaction that we've had when someone's like, oh man, I'm dealing with anxiety, I'm dealing with depression or burnout. They'd just be like, well, obviously you're not spending enough time with Jesus, right? It used to be even just 30 years ago where a pastor who was dealing with some sort of mental health issue would be unwilling to find any treatment, at the very least in their community, would be unwilling to speak on it or anything, because if they did, their congregation would determine that they weren't really following Jesus if they were struggling with this. Now, that's not to say that Western society's reaction to mental health has been much better, right? People until recently dealing with mental health have had these reactions where they share, I'm dealing with such and such, and they probably, you know, as guys, we just give a guy that was dealing with that stuff a punch on the shoulder and be like, just man up, pull through, right? Get through it. I can't speak to the female reactions to these different things, but I assume that for many it was, I got to put on a happy face. I got to keep on carrying on. And the issue is that as we have mental health problems, and at an increasing rate in our society, and there's all kinds of root causes that could be pointed to for the rise in mental health issues throughout the Western world, as we deal with these things, the stigma has kind of shifted. There's to some extent, some people have begun to wear these things as a badge of honor, which I don't know that that's the right way to go. But then there are others who are pushing back against that attitude, and we're almost seeing a resurgence of, oh, you have problems? Sure you do. Maybe you're here today, and chances are there's a few people here today or online watching right now, and you're under pressure. You're facing financial pressure. You're feeling the the pressure of society to perform or to produce. Oh, you only worked 8 hours today? No, why don't you stay an extra four? I mean, you couldn't possibly have anything more worthwhile than producing for this company. Right? All the business owners here are like, come on, man. There's pressure coming from social media. It's funny that our escape, the thing that so many of us, you know, where, oh, I'm too tired. I need to just escape reality. And so we go to social media and we start scrolling. But the thing is that we're looking at a carefully curated list of people's best moments. Over and over and over and over and over again. And suddenly we start to get this idea, wow, everyone goes on better vacations all the time than I do. Like, it's been 2 years since I even went camping. You know? Or we're like, man, everybody wears nicer clothes than I do, or everyone's marriage is happier than mine is. And all of a sudden we have this pressure, like, I've got to live up to these things that I'm seeing on my social feed. There's pressure on our kids and on ourselves that our kids have to be in lots and lots of activities. I was speaking with one person a few years ago, and they were talking about how stressed out they were because their kids were in so many activities and they just couldn't figure out what to cut. And they're listing off these activities, and they're like, you know, they've got this team sport, and they've got this individual sport, and they're in swimming lessons every single week of the year, and they're in piano lessons, and then they've got they've got school and all these things. And I was like, here's an idea. Why don't you just let them be in one at a time? And the response was, well, no, these are mandatory life skills. They can't possibly skip out on one of these. I'm stressed out. My kids have all these things that no one else in the history of our nation had 100 years ago. But I have to have this, or they won't succeed, or they'll look back and they'll think that I failed them in some way because they didn't have all these opportunities all the time. And meanwhile, mom and dad, they're run ragged and they're feeling exhausted and they have no chance to rest. And the kids as well. Let me tell you, a lot of these kids, if you talk to them, they're like, I just want a day off. I just want to stay home. I just want to hang out with my friends. Some of you can relate, right? You're under pressure. A lot of us, we put on an outward show, don't we? See this all the time at church. We're really bad for this. You walk in the morning. You just got cut off by someone and flipped them the bird. You were screaming at your kids in the back seat there. You know, they barely got underwear on before they head out the door kind of thing. You know what I mean? And you guys are just like, you know what? When we get home today, you're in so much trouble. We're going to go out behind the woodshed. Do people still have woodsheds? I don't know. But anyways, you know what I mean? Like, maybe, you know, you're fighting with your spouse too. And you're just like, I think this is it. I think we might be done. And then you pull into church and you're like, okay, everybody. Let's walk in. You walk in the door, you shake the greeter's hand, and they're like, how are you? I'm so blessed. I'm so good. Praise God. Right? You've been there. You've put on the mask. You've put on the show. But inside, how are you feeling? You're depressed, you're anxious, you're stressed, you're worn down. But I want to tell you today, if you're under pressure, you're not alone. This room is full of people who are under pressure. This society is full of people under pressure. But I know that what we want, what you and I want more than anything else right now, we want peace of mind. Wouldn't that be amazing? Everything's falling in on you, and it's just like, God, just give me some peace. And so today, as we start this new series called Under Pressure, today in this message I've entitled Safe Harbor in the Storm, we're going to look at what we need to do to begin to find peace. But I think as well, it's important to start a message series like this by addressing some common misunderstandings that people often have, Christians often have, that can block the path to peace and to healing. Am I right? There's things that we have, attitudes and understandings we have that can prevent us from the peace that God promises us. So Heavenly Father, today I just thank you so much that we are able to address topics like these from the Bible. Lord, I thank you that we've come to a place as a people where we can truly address the inner hurts that are going on in so many. And so today, Lord, I ask that you'll take these feeble human words that I'm about to speak and that you'll make them something worthwhile through the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, there was this guy named the Apostle Paul. And in case you're wondering, apostle wasn't his first name. That was his title, all right? It was like saying pastor or missionary or bishop or father or whatever. It was a title, okay? And Paul was this amazing early church missionary who had a radical life change from God and who was very familiar with suffering. Very familiar. And the Apostle Paul, he writes to a church in the city of Thessalonica, which we find this letter in the Bible in 1 Thessalonians. And I want to direct your attention today to 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 23 to 24, where he writes this: "Now may the God of peace make you holy in every way. And may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. God will make this happen, for he who calls you is faithful." Wow. We serve the God of peace. Why don't we feel peace? I want to tell you today that God has a lot to say and a lot of promises about quelling the storm inside of us. But there's two ways that people tend to associate church and the topic of mental health. The first one is that we say the church has no business in the area of mental health, right? We say this is not the church's field. Maybe we even look back in history and in time and we go, in fact, the church has been detrimental to many people being willing to come forward and get help in the area of mental health. The church has no business speaking about it. On the flip side, there are people who are like, yes, the God of peace, Jesus who died on the cross, and by his stripes, you are healed. Amen. He's going to fix it all. He's going to make it all easy. You get saved by Jesus. You get filled by Jesus. You get healed by Jesus. And all you need is faith. Right? We heard those people before too. And then let me tell you, Jesus does save. And Jesus does fill you with his Holy Spirit. And Jesus does bring healing, both spiritual and often physical. But this idea is not complete. See, Jesus saves, but he doesn't immediately fix every area of our lives. You know? Have you seen that? Because after all, if this idea that if you come to Jesus, he saves you and he fixes everything immediately was actually true, then I would be changing my sales pitch. I'd be like, people, are you overweight? Are you a scrawny lightweight? Do you have wrinkles so long that your jowls are touching your shoulders? You know? Men, do you have more back hair than head hair? Is your bank account empty? Just come to Jesus, and for the price, the low, low price of giving everything to him, you'll wake up three sizes smaller with bigger muscles, no more wrinkles, and all your hair grown back. Plus, he'll fill up your bank account. But that's not what it is, right? That's not what happens, right? Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you're going to be mentally healthy. And so I want to really, I hope if you have ever been in this place or in a church or out there and you thought to yourself, I must be failing as a follower of Jesus because I'm struggling with depression or I'm struggling with anxiety or I'm struggling with these pressures, I want you to know that you can be a follower of Jesus and not be completely mentally healthy. And so I want us to deal with two myths about mental health before we deal with specific areas of mental health in the coming weeks. And so the first myth that we need to address is that good Christians don't have mental health problems. Right? Have you heard that one before? Have you thought that one before? Let me tell you, you can love Jesus. You can, you can be like giving it all to him. You can be like, Jesus, you're my everything, and still fight with depression. But here's the thing, you're not alone anymore. When you come to Jesus, you're not alone as you walk through that. You can be such a faithful Christian. You can be reading your Bible for 6 hours a day and praying for 6 hours a day. You can be like, I am holy, but not thinking that, because that would be pride, and pride comes before a fall. But everyone can be looking at you and thinking, you are amazing, you are holy. And let me tell you, you can still be struggling with anxiety. But the great thing is that suddenly you know that you have a faithful confidant and teacher. You can be someone who attends church faithfully, not regularly, because these days regularly means once a month. Faithfully, you can be like the world is flooding and hellfire and brimstone are falling from the sky, but I'm getting into my car and I'm driving to church. You know what I mean? Admittedly, I think more people come to church when that stuff's happening. But you get my point here, right? You can be someone that's like, I am not missing anything. And still deal with trauma. The difference is that you have people who love you and will pray for you and will encourage you. See, I don't know how we got this idea that there shouldn't be any kind of struggles with mental health. Because if you read your Bible, you start to see some stuff. For example, you know Elijah, that like amazing prophet who like started a burnt offering with no fire? Fire like literally came down from heaven. Like, pretty much immediately after that, you know what Elijah did? He ran off so depressed about life that he literally said that he wanted to die. This guy's so in tune with God that he hears him, he speaks for him, and God acts on Elijah's behalf. And then he's just like, life sucks so bad, it would be better if I was dead, God. How about David? You hear of David? The guy that slung the stone and took out the big, huge giant. The guy that became king of Israel. Did you know that David often despaired his situation? Often practically cursed his life? I mean, read some Psalms. He had so many struggles at various moments. There's a guy named Jeremiah. He has his entire own book of the Bible. In case you're wondering what it's called Jeremiah. You know what we call him? The weeping prophet. And in his book, he actually says, cursed is the day that I was born. But God's like, no, I'm going to use you. I'm going to speak through you. And in fact, not only am I going to speak through you for this moment now, but these words are going to be immortalized for generations upon generations to read about your struggles, about Israel's struggles, and about my desire for people to live for me. And yet, what's our historical solution? How do we respond to the biblical evidence? Because by the way, that's only a few examples. How do we respond? Oh, you have mental health issues? You need more Jesus. And that's true, right? I need more Jesus. Do you need more Jesus? Do you want to experience him more? But can I also tell you, you probably need more sleep. You probably need a healthier social life. Maybe you need to have a better diet or go see a doctor or a counselor or get on some hormone treatments, right? So yeah, I need more of Jesus. But let me tell you, I got some pills I take every single morning to keep me from going. Because mentally, my brain produces hormones wrong. And would I love for God to heal me? Absolutely. But am I sitting there going, I just need to read my Bible more and I will never be sad? No. Because let me tell you, God created this world. He created the ability for us to put different chemicals and different items together and experiment and come up with things that can help us. So I'm good taking God's graceful provision of us being able to use the brains that he gave us and the resources he gave us to address issues in addition to pressing into Jesus. Don't get me wrong here, okay? We absolutely need God's salvation in our lives. We absolutely need the Holy Spirit to direct us. We completely need his comfort in our lives. And I don't know about you, but there are so many things in my life I wouldn't have made it through in the way that I did without the strength of God on my side. But when it comes to your mental health, these are the starting point. For Christians, this is the place. This is like the default, right? This is where we should be to begin with. And so if we're dealing with these things, then yeah, we should check that all this is in place. But then we can go, God, will you direct me to the next step? And we can go to wise people, wise counselors in our lives and say, hey, I'm struggling with this. I'm praying. I'm reading my Bible. I'm worshiping. I'm going to church. I'm serving faithfully. But I'm dealing with these issues. Let me tell you, when I was dealing with stuff and I phoned up a mentor, you know what they told me? Stephen, you need to call the doctor. You need to talk to someone. You need to find out if there's a medical issue and you need to talk to someone. You're burnt out. You need help. We need to understand that mental health problems do not mean that we're bad Christians. It doesn't mean that we're failing as followers of Jesus. You know what it does mean? You're a real person. That's all it means. You are a flesh and blood human being. So the first myth is that good Christians don't have mental health problems. The second myth is that God doesn't care about mental health. Right? Mental health, that's not in his purview. He just wants you to keep on pressing in. He gave you a mission. You need to do it no matter what. Life can be falling apart around you, but you should keep on trucking. But listen, he cares a lot about our mental health. He gave us an entire book of the Bible that shares the ups and downs of human beings. And it includes many, many words of encouragement, right? I know my daughter's up here with me today, and she's looking at me like a deer in the headlights. It's good, I promise you. When times are tough, her favorite thing to do is she goes to Psalm 23. A lot of you know that, right? The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. man, this is not the translation I'm used to for this verse. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. What a message of comfort. I think there's a reason why so many of us have posters in our houses or coffee mugs that have this passage on it, right? You know a passage in the Psalms you'll never see on a coffee mug? Psalm 88. Never. Unless it's a gag gift, then it's a mean gag gift, all right? There's a guy in the Bible, his name is Herman. Now, first of all, I think that a lot of his issues stemmed from the fact that his name was Herman. Sorry to any Hermans that are watching right now. It sounds like a middle name, you know what I mean? But this is a guy the Bible shares with us. He was a man of wisdom. He was a musician and a songwriter. He was even a good parent. Hallelujah. Right? He was a committed servant of King Solomon. So this is all great, right? You want to hear a little bit of the psalm he wrote? Guarantee you, you'll never see it on a t-shirt. Okay? Psalm 88. We'll read in verse 3. For my life is full of troubles and death draws near. I am as good as death, like a strong man with no strength left. They have left me among the dead, and I lie like a corpse in the grave. I am forgotten, cut off from your care. Let's skip down to verse 13. O Lord, I cry out to you. I will keep on pleading day by day. O Lord, why do you reject me? Why do you turn your face from me? And then verse 18, you have taken away my companions and loved ones. Darkness is my closest friend. And all that goes through my head is, hello, darkness, my old friend. Did you catch that though? God records this. He's like, this is worth saving to go down in posterity. But you know what's even cooler? Herman loved God, served God, was a good parent. But is he mentally healthy? No way. He's going through some stuff, you know? But God cares. And if you're not mentally healthy today, God cares. He loves your honesty. Man, I think most of us are afraid of writing stuff like this. We're afraid of praying things like this. God, why do you make me? Life sucks. Everything's terrible. I hate that I was even born. And he's like, thank you so much for being honest. Listen, I love you. My heart's breaking for you right now. I won't leave you. I'll always be by your side. So I shared with you all, right? I went in, I saw the doctor, I did some counseling with a Christian psychologist, I got some medication that has really helped, and I've cut back my hours, because that was too much. I'm still learning. Right? I'm still learning to trust on God and to listen to my body, because I still struggle at times. I still quite often will make it halfway through the day and then I'll go home and I'll just sleep. And then I'll get back up at whatever time I happen to wake up, and then I'll go back to work. Because I'm tired and I'm not mentally healthy. But I'm giving it to God. And hopefully, that's something that you can do too. So I need to share with you today something that I've had to come to the conclusion of, and that's that seeking help for your mental health isn't weak, it's wise. We like to hide stuff. We like to be strong, right? But it's not weak to say, I need help. It's wise. It's wise. Jesus was pretty smart. I mean, in general. But he was pretty smart when he shared the great commandment, right? Matthew 22, 37. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. I think not only was he on to something amazing and restating something that the Jewish people already knew about the entirety of their law, but I think as well he was on to something when it comes to the way that our minds work. Because there's things that are called neural pathways in our brains. And I don't know if you've noticed, but when you have a habit, it's really hard to break the habit. But when you make a new habit, suddenly it's like your entire body, your entire life starts to go on autopilot when you have a habit, right? Have you ever been there? You're supposed to be driving your kid to school, you show up at work, you know? See, your neural pathways are a lot like a path through the forest. The forest has all kinds of little places where you can get through where wildlife has walked and maybe where humans have walked. And eventually, a path, the easiest way through, is formed. And most of us, even if you're going off trail, you're still, right, all the hunters in the room, you're still trying to find the easiest path through so that you're not like breaking branches all over the place and just busting brush. You want to at least find a game trail. You're following a path. You're going where there's the least resistance possible for where you need to go. And your brain is actually wired this way. The more you do something, the more set your neural pathways become to do that one thing. Which, let me tell you, when you have good habits and good ways of looking at life, it is so good. I mean, you look at some of these people who have spent their lives practicing discipline and thinking positively and getting up and praying and all that, and you might be thinking to yourself, like, man, how do you do that? Let me tell you, one step at a time, building one path at a time. It's good when it's good, but it's bad when it's bad. Right? If your brain goes to the worst case, it takes a while to dig out of that. It takes a while. But then there's Jesus. You must love the Lord your God with all your what? And with all your... And with all your... Why? Because we need to train our brains to think on good things. Listen to this. This is from the prophet Isaiah. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. You want lasting peace? You have to change your thoughts. And it's not all going to happen at once. It's going to be something over time. But you need to look at your life. You need to look at the social media usage, right? And you need to maybe stop the scroll. You need to look at what news cycles are you wound up in. What political things are you invested in and torn up about? When you go out for coffee with your friends, do you guys talk about all the good things in your lives, or do you whine and complain over coffee? And listen, guys, I know that the answer is the latter for most of our coffee groups, right? These aren't good things. These aren't going to change our outlook or help us find peace. Let's read this verse again. Read it with me. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are what? Fixed on you. God is my strength. God is my provider. God is my protector. And no matter what comes, I am never alone. And it cannot thwart God's purpose for me. He is the God of peace. And Lord, I ask that you would bring us peace. So how can we have this peace in the world? Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. The reason I chose the English Standard Version on this is because the translation I usually preach from, the New Living Translation, they actually missed something in their translation. They generalize peace, but this isn't a general peace. This is Jesus' peace. And let me tell you, contextually speaking, this is just before a time of great pain and suffering and hopelessness for his followers. And he says, but listen, there will be peace. Why? How? Because peace isn't found in the absence of problems, it's found in the presence of Jesus. Things can be going on, but oh, with Jesus, we can have peace. It's an old hymn. A lot of us know it. It is well with my soul. Some bad stuff was happening to that guy. But he could sing, it is well with my soul. Not because his life was absent of problems, but because he had the presence of Jesus. He is good. That's why that song, I believe that song, Another in the Fire, resonates so much with so many of us. Because the things that you're going through, they're not great. They're not peaceful. But there's another in the fire. There's another in the situation. And he will remain within you and with you through whatever storm is raging in your life or around you. He is the starting point as you walk this journey of finding mental health. The God of peace. Now may the God of peace make you holy in every way, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. God will make this happen, for he who calls you is faithful. Amen. Heavenly Father, today I ask that you would help us to rest in your faithfulness. Lord God, that you would help us to rest in your presence. God, that you would give us your peace, your perfect peace. And Lord, that we would understand that that peace is not a peace as the world gives, but that it is a peace that in the midst of turmoil, in the midst of mental pathways that have been built that try to push us into a bad way of thinking or a bad way of behaving or whatever it may be, that as we step by step, day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute, fix our thoughts on you, as we spend time in your presence, that we would begin to recognize your peace. And Lord, I ask today that we wouldn't feel ashamed if we're a follower of Jesus who's dealing with issues with our mental health. But Lord, that we would rejoice in being counted among those who were faithful servants of the Most High God and yet suffered as we do. And God, that we would start where we need to start with you, but that you would direct us to the places we need to go to start the process of getting healthy. And Lord, today I lift up all those who need to start with you. All those who need to recognize that this entire world is broken. That the curse of sin entered into a very good world that God created and broke it. And that we suffer the ill effects of this broken world day by day. And yet, Lord, you looked at us, and in your infinite grace and mercy, you came to earth in the person of your Son, Jesus Christ. And you lived as one of us without breaking. And you died for our sins, not your own. And as holy, innocent, as owing nothing as God and man, your sacrifice on the cross, your blood shed, pays the price for all that holds us down. Truly, Lord God, by your stripes, all our spiritual wounds, all our spiritual brokenness is able to be healed. And you became the doorway, Lord, through your death and through your resurrection 3 days later. You became the doorway out of a life of brokenness into a pathway of being made whole as your follower, as we usher others towards you to also be made whole. And Lord, we rejoice that no matter what happens in this life, there will come a day where we join you in heaven and find perfect peace. There will come a day where you return to earth and you fully establish your kingdom here and right all wrongs and establish a kingdom full of citizens who have said yes to Jesus. So, Lord, I just ask that you'd be moving in people's hearts and lives right now. And I want to speak to you today. If you're hearing what Jesus did for you today, and you're thinking to yourself, I need that starting point. I need Jesus's peace. I need to give my life to this Jesus. Then right now is the perfect time. I want to tell you that no matter what's going on in your life, we believe here at Abundant Springs that Jesus loves and accepts you just as you are. There's nothing that should be keeping you from him saying yes to you. You just need to say yes to him. Now, the truth is, he loves you too much to leave you where you're at. And today is the day that maybe you say yes and you begin on the journey of being made right and whole with Jesus. But today, I want to guide us all through a prayer. All of us through a prayer. And if you pray this prayer from your heart, desiring to give your life to Jesus, then I want you to know that you are entering into the family of God today. So let's all pray this prayer together. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving me. Thank you for not giving up on me. Today I give you my life. Jesus, please give me yours. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and transform me by your love. I commit this day to follow you for the rest of my days. And I thank you that when I mess it up, you don't leave me, but you pick me up. You dust me off, and you walk beside me. In Jesus' name, amen. If you just prayed that prayer today, I want to welcome you to the family of God. We want to get to know you and help you move along in this journey with Jesus. We want to get a Bible and resources in your hands. So here in-house, make sure that you grab that Connect card, fill it out, and check off the box that says, I just gave my life to Jesus. Bobby will be at the back there, and she'll be able to give you a Bible and some devotional resources online. Go to ascc.life, tap on I just gave my life to Jesus, and we'll be following up with you in the next couple of days. We've got ice cream. And so that's going to start coming upstairs here. So don't run off before you make yourself an ice cream sundae and hang out with us as well. If you need prayer for anything, Pastor Embry is going to be available right up here by the Kids Min office. All right. So she'll be there for the next 5 or 10 minutes. So if you need prayer, please don't sit there waiting until minute 9 or 10, because if nobody's there, she might just move on. So if you need prayer, go up quickly. Everyone, we'll see you next week as we continue in this series. And God bless. You're dismissed.